Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Tanner Waldo Scribner filling in for Jim Smalley. Only two more days left of me before Jim returns next week on Tuesday. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reason to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com, and brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. On today's show, we're going to have the latest on the Ministry of Agriculture's crop report, Ray Orb's reaction to last week's agriculture ministers meeting in Saskatoon, as well as a reminder for farmers about grading changes to grain, and plenty more with the Farm Weather Resource Report and Market Update, all in their usual spots. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your water well wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. The government of Saskatchewan has released its latest crop report for the period of July 19th to 25th. Matthew Struthers is a crop extension specialist with the Ministry of Agriculture and says weather was a big focus of this week's report.
The tune we're singing this week is those who got rain are going to kind of maintain their status quo. Whereas in the drier spots, you know, that didn't get that rain and they just got heat and wind, they're likely to see their crops go a little backwards, especially in the west central region. It's starting to dry out there quite a bit and in a lot of that region. So we're hoping that they get rain here soon and pods will continue to fill and heads will continue to fill and harvest will stay away just a little bit longer. But if it stays dry and stays hot, there'll certainly be some activity starting around harvest.
And how are things looking in the southwest and southeast portions of the province?
So there's some very good looking crops in the southeast. You know, they've had a lot of rain this year and it's certainly what they needed after the dry conditions of last year. Of course, with that moisture, they have to battle a lot of other things. You know, flooding was a big issue down there, as well as, you know, some disease now that there's moisture. But overall, the crops look very good. Of course, there are issues in the areas that are still dry in that region. But the southwest, there's some good spots, but there's also some very poor spots, again, where it's quite dry. So we're hoping everybody has a good year, but unfortunately, it's tough with a province that large and the variable weather.
The Canadian Crop Hail Association reported some damage from storms earlier this month. Recently, we did have quite a bit of thunderstorms. Have you guys heard any damaged crops from the storms over the past week?
There's been quite a bit of lodging damage. So that, you know, that's when crops are laid over by the wind or other reasons, and so that'll result in yield loss or quality loss, and also just makes harvesting quite difficult depending on the severity. We didn't hear of any severe hailstorms of crops being completely written off or anything like that, and certainly something we don't want to see. Nobody wants to see the Great White Combine come out too early and take down their crops before they're able to get out there. So there were a few minor hailstorms we did hear about, but the damage is still being assessed on those. So hopefully all the crops made it through and they weren't complete write-offs.
And is anyone getting close to harvest?
Parts of the southwest and west central have a few producers out there who have sprayed desiccants on their lentils or other pulse crops. So that means that they're, a week or so away from being able to combine. That is if the rain holds off. If it rains again, they might see regrowth and that'll cause some issues for them. But, just kind of a trickle of a few producers out there who are starting that desiccation and harvest will follow after that. So the majority of the province, especially the eastern half of the province, is probably still 7 to 10 days away from any of that. But we'll see what the weather does and how things speed up.
And what is the quality of hay looking like?
The quality of hay is rated as 19% excellent, 62% good, 18% fair, and 1% poor. So that's very good to see. You know, it's higher than last year. And yields are landing for dry land hay somewhere between 1 ton per acre up to about 1.8. And then irrigated is a little bit higher, landing around 2 to about 2.5, closer to 3, depending on where you are and the quality of your hay. So that's very good to see. The higher yields are being seen, obviously, in those irrigated areas, but also on the eastern half of the province where that early rainfall came and was able to replenish those hay fields. In the western half of the province, there are some poor-looking hay fields, and some producers are still worried about their outlook going into the winter in regards to their feed.
That was Matthew Struthers, a crop extension specialist with the Ministry of Agriculture. This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms and feeding families in Cupar, Ituma, Lipton, and Strasburg. Last week, provincial, territorial, and federal ag ministers were all in Saskatoon for annual meetings. Many farm organizations were watching the meetings closely, including the president of SARM, Ray Orb.
We were watching their press announcement last week, and we actually had a chance to meet the federal minister of agriculture in Saskatoon last week, Minister Rabeau, and I also chatted with Minister Merritt about how the negotiations were going. And in the end, we did see that there were some good things that came out of that agreement that the ag ministers signed on to. And one of the things was, increasing the coverage of ag stability from 70% to 80%. So that will give farmers, I think, a better tool in the event that they do need to use ag stability. It will guarantee them a bit more coverage on their farms and their ranches, and I think that's something that was promoted for quite a few years. Organizations like SARM were asking, for this increase, and which will help quite a bit. There are some things also, they were talking about African swine fever and things like that. There was a lot of discussion around that, and I think that's really something that's concerning the hog industry in this province. And we know that there is ongoing discussion about that as far as developing a vaccine in this province as well. So we're hoping sooner than later there can be a vaccine, and that, this would be made available to hog producers.
And we've seen many different farm organizations reacting to the federal government's announcement regarding fertilizer. And Ray, what is your take on that?
We saw that it was discussed at the negotiations last week, was the voluntary reduction of nitrogen fertilizer. And so the federal government is asking farmers to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and this is one of the ways that they're asking farmers to do that. And we honestly think that farmers are using the fertilizer very efficiently right now, and to reduce the amount of fertilizer on their farms, in a lot of cases it's going to be a reduction in yield, and it just doesn't seem the right time to be asking farmers to do this. And I think many farmers are concerned about that. And I know our Minister of Agriculture in the province is concerned about that too. It seems like what the federal government should be doing is should be rewarding farmers, for sequestering carbon, because our farmers have been doing that. Some of them have been doing that for decades already. And there is really no broad-based program as far as offsets or carbon credits that the federal government has talked about. There's some pilot projects, which I believe are good, but there's no program in place. And I think there should have been a program that was brought forward, because if you're asking farmers to reduce fertilizer, you're looking at less yields. That is something that we do not recommend at this time, because the world is hungry for Saskatchewan grain products and beef and all those things, and just simply to be able to do it just doesn't seem to be on the right track at all.
That was the president of SARM, Ray Orb.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
I'm Kelvin Heppner for Real Agriculture. We are at Ag in Motion, joined by Daniel Samfer, Senior Marketing Manager with Nexus BioAg, and Robert Hornford, the Director of Agronomy for Nexus BioAg. And some announcements from Nexus BioAg. How's the show going overall?
Hey, it's great to be back talking about our new technologies such as Tag Team Bionic that's used on the pea and lentil crop, and also Bionic that is used on the canola and wheat crops. And like I said, it's just great to be back in front of people, customers, having great conversations about what we have to provide of Nexus BioAg and discuss our regenerative sustainable products that we're bringing to market. And we're really excited today to announce that Nexus BioAg has entered into an exclusive marketing and distribution agreement with Musgrow to market and distribute Terra MG once approved and once registered, which will control Aphenomyces and clubroot.
Robert, can you fill us in on Terra MG, what it is, how it works?
So Terra MG is a really interesting product because it's derived from mustard grown here in Saskatchewan. So growers can actually grow a crop that will be turned into a pest control problem to deal with things like Aphenomyces and clubroot, which are serious diseases that really impact the productivity and the value of our growers' operations. So it's a new technology that we're researching, and one of the nice things about AIM is we've been working on this product for a couple of years, and we can now get in front of growers and start to talk about things like this.
Okay. What's the timeline, Daniel, for bringing this product to market?
Yeah, we're still working on our timelines. One of our critical goals is to feature Terra MG in our BioAdvantage Trials program, which is an industry-leading large field scale market development program. We leverage that program to accelerate the commercialization of our products that we market and distribute on behalf of our suppliers or our partners as well. So that's our first step. Our first step is to get it into our BAT program, and following that, work on a commercialization plan that will, you know, they'll get us into the hands of our customers after that.
All right. Robert, of course, clubroot and aphanomyces are huge pests of concern in Western Canada in particular, and other parts of the world as well. What is it about mustard and this product that that makes it work in terms of potentially helping control these pathogens?
Well, it's an organic biofumigant, and what it will do is, for something like clubroot, it'll help to support the genetic varieties, the resistance that the pest is overcoming. This will help to protect that. So it's one of the tools that growers will have in their toolbox that will not only do something in terms of suppressing and controlling disease, but support the other aspects of managing that disease, like the resistant varieties. So it'll give the growers an opportunity to tighten their rotations or go back to more normal rotations, but also to prevent the disease from getting established and becoming an economic issue on their farm.
And I'm assuming this is seed applied?
This is a soil-applied product.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So how do you see how? So that'll be applied the same way farmers apply other soil-applied products then?
So because it's a fumigant, you want to get it into the top part of the soil where the spores are, where the disease is. And what you do is you put it down, you incorporate it in order to get a good mix and to fumigate the soil, and then it does what it does. The gas from the two components that are put together as part of the mixing process, and the gas forms from the two components, and that does the job of efficacy in controlling the disease.
Fall or spring applied?
Those are the kind of things that we're working out in terms of rate right now, because one of the things we do both in our small flower research program and in our BAT program is develop the recipe that allows a farmer to be successful. So with a new technology like this, those are the application things that we're looking at now. So when it comes to market, it's in the hands of the farmers. They have the recipe on how to use it and make it effective.
Yeah, this product really fits into our current strategy in terms of finding new, innovative, sustainable products that we can bring into our portfolio. And a critical part of bringing them into our portfolio is ensuring that they go through the BioAdvantage trial program, so that again we can build belief, that we can engage our grower network to participate in those trials too, to really experience the product on hand and and on the field. So okay. We're fortunate we have a foundationally leading inoculant portfolio from our partner Novozymes. We continue to grow that product and bring in additional products like that to allow us to expand our portfolio and sell the full portfolio of products that we offer from inoculants all the way to nutrients.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866 and Moose Jaw Truck Shop. The number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in with no appointment necessary or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today it's sunny with a high of 24 with a low of 8 tonight. Tomorrow the temperature rises to a high of 30 with a low of 13. For the weekend, Saturday kicks things off with a high of 29 and a mix of sun and clouds with a low of 15. On Sunday, things cool off a bit to a high of 26. And on Saskatchewan Day Monday, more sunshine with a high of 29. The normal high for today is 26 and the normal low is 11. Sunrise was at 5:20 and sunset is scheduled for 8:50. Around the province at this hour, in Estevan, it's 20 degrees, Yorkton 21, Swift Current 24, Moose Jaw and Weyburn sit at 21, and in Regina, it's also 21 degrees. We'll be back in a moment. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com, and by Pattison Liquid Systems. Experts in liquid fertilizer distribution, fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Canada's agriculture industry has developed a four-point plan to keep Canadian grain moving. The Ag Transport Coalition, which is made up of numerous farm organizations across the country, released its report detailing the plan. Pulse Canada is one of the organizations included with the coalition, and Greg Northey, the Vice President of Corporate Affairs, explains more about the plan.
You know, we as a sector are feeling really, you know, there's a level of confidence about the size of the crop, definitely, hopefully better than next year. And facing a lot of the drive, the food security challenges that the world's facing, and as well as, you know, Canada's role in meeting that demand, we've turned our attention to the new grain year. And our plan is really focused on trying to make sure that that everyone who has a role to play in moving Canadian grain is going to be ready. You know, farmers have invested a lot in this year's crop. Our exporters are investing a lot in making sure that they've got the logistics in place to move it. And, you know, our major focus is on ensuring that our service providers, so railways and shipping container lines, are also focused on moving this year's crop.
Who are those different partners and how do you bring them together to make them work collaboratively?
Yeah, so it obviously starts with the farmer and the farmer getting it to the grain handling companies and then the railways. And then once we get to port, shipping lines and terminals are all playing a part. And so we have in Canada, we have legislation that makes sure that we have a bit of visibility on how the railways particularly plan to move grain. So every year at the end of July, they have to publish, each railway, CN and CP, have to publish a plan, and they usually consult with the sector and then publish the plan. And, you know, ultimately, so that everyone is prepared to move this year's grain, we all need to see how everyone else is preparing, what they're planning, what they're forecasting, the kind of resources they're putting in place. And that way we can all work together as the full supply chain and understand, you know, what's available, how it's going to move. So really our main focus is that visibility, that sort of transparency into, you know, what everyone's doing. And because the railways have such an important role to play, ultimately it's the key linchpin to get things moving. We're really, you know, part of the focus is on ensuring that those plans that they have to publish have the type of information that we need as a sector to feel confident that we'll be able to move our grain.
Why do you feel it's necessary to implement this type of plan?
This year's crop is particularly important. And this year's plan on how to move it is particularly important. So, you know, we've got the four parts of it. We've got the plan, showing the plans, and we've developed a template on what we think is necessary to show in the railway plans particularly. And then we've got four other points. One of them is around, particularly around labor. We have a lot of concerns around labor this year. There's 12 labor agreements coming, expiring on CMCP by the end of this calendar year. As we know, labor disruptions can really influence how grain moves. And then it's about each month understanding whether we're adhering to the capacity plan that the particularly the railways have shown us. So it's really measuring that and understanding it. We feel it's an all hands on deck kind of situation for this grain year, and because we have railways that need to publish these plans around their capacity, it's really our focus.
What do you feel will be the reaction from farmers when hearing about this plan?
Well, I mean, we're approaching this with a lot of optimism. Like I said, like the sector, farmers, everyone has invested a lot in this year's crop. So, you know, our campaign is called Canada's Ready. So we really, you know, do feel that there's really nothing stopping us from being ready, from being able to export this crop. So what we're really asking from a farmer perspective is just to participate in the campaign. You know, it's hashtag Canada's Ready. And, you know, there, I think we are feeling confident. We're hoping that by raising this issue, we'll be able to at least drive some of our service providers like the railways to A, pay a bit more attention to the need to move grain and do what's necessary this fall. You know, it's always interesting with logistics. You never quite know how things are going, but by emphasizing this issue now, I think we have a better chance of having a successful fall export season. So
that was Grain Hershey with the Pulse Canada about the Ag Transport Coalition's plan to keep grain moving in Canada. This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, and engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. For farmers in the driest areas of west central and southwest Saskatchewan, the start of harvest is not too far away. Kevin Hirsch farms in the Cabri area, about 70 kilometers northwest of Swift Current.
No, I have to hurry up and get my old combines ready a little faster than I thought I would. That crop was seeded April 29th, 30th, and has been pushed along by high temperatures, and especially a week or so ago, and a lack of rain, unfortunately. So not the best crop. There are some other mustard fields, I think, that will be a little bit better than those, but the first of them won't be too far away. I think maybe a week or even maybe 10 days, and we'll be into it.
What has rainfall been like in the area?
We sort of was on just enough rain to keep things good and hopeful, but then July hit and rain has been hard to come from. Just a few tenths here and there, and you'd hear about other good rains going elsewhere, you know, an inch or inch and a quarter or something like that, and we'd get three or four, maybe five tenths a few times, and it really wasn't enough to sustain real good crop conditions. It varies depending upon whether the crop was seeded early or late or exactly what shower it might have been under. So there's a great deal of variability, and some of the crops look reasonable. Some of them are obviously struggling, and it changes every few miles in that neck of the woods. So it's not consistent even within a fairly small region.
And how is this year's crop looking compared to last year?
It's hard to be as bad as last year. I think we're to the stage now where no matter what happens, we're going to get something of a crop, maybe in many cases a below average crop. I talked to a producer from around Assiniboia, a longtime grower there, and he said that 2021 was his worst crop, but 2022 will be the second worst crop. Now, I'm not sure we're to that stage where I farm at Cabri, but it is a bit disappointing. In 2021, no matter where you went, people were complaining about bad crops. This year is different. You can talk to people and drive to areas that have really good crops, so not everybody's in the same boat.
And you were at Ag in Motion, and you had a chance to chat with other producers there. what was kind of the gauge that you got on how crops are looking in other areas?
Before Ag in Motion, I spent a fair bit of time at Country Thunder at Craven and talked to a number of producers there. So you get the full gamut from, oh, man, we didn't get everything seeded or we seeded late, to the crop is looking really great, we just hope the hail stays away, to, oh yeah, a good average crop, to, oh no, we're in a drier region. But that drier region tends to be the western or west central part of Saskatchewan and into the southwest, where you'll find the biggest complaints, I think.
Kevin Hirsch is an agricultural commentator and also farms at Cabri in southwest Saskatchewan. Market Update is brought to you by Freeze-Thalmann. Don't put off your summer projects. Freeze-Thalmann offers delivery to your rural or lake country property, and by Sask Pork. Perfect pork is our passion and our promise. Learn more at saskpork.com. Looking at the latest Viterra price quotes, durum at $399.68, feed barley $282.87, canola's up 17 points to $815.62, chickpeas $870.04, flax $762.67, lentils down 6 to $737.50, oats $321.53, yellow peas $451.71, feed wheat $330.30, and one red spring wheat is up 4.5 points to $406.79. That's been your market update. The livestock quotes are brought to you by Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now hear the latest livestock quotes from Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
We had a nice run on offer here this week with 725 cows and bulls and 273 feeders for a total of 998 head. On the feeder market this week, the prices were steady to last sale. There's a set of yearlings in here that were top cut cattle and the prices showed it. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. 10 yearling steers, 906 at 219. 852 weights at 227 and a quarter. Your 845 weight silver steers, 228 and a quarter. 881s at 218.50 and your 945 weights at 213 and a quarter. Their sisters, 10 yearling heifers, 750 weights at 204. 804 weights at $1.96 and the silver yearling heifers, 750 at 203.75. We had a big bull and cow sale this week, 725 head on offer. 525 cows average $1.975. One of our producers had 80 exotic cows that averaged $14.50 and brought $1.13. Also, 36 heiferettes at 13 and a quarter brought $1.41. D1, D2 cows, $1.10 to $1.17. Your D3 cows, $1 to $1.10. Your light shelly cows, 85 to 98. And your heiferettes, $1.25 to $1.48. Bulls, 70 big bulls, 98 to $1.42 and a quarter to average $1.27.50. A lot of these bulls are coming off from breeding, so the condition is down, but the bulls are still trading well. Producers, we're now having sales every week. August 3rd and August 10th are regular sales, and our first pre-sort sale is August 17th with special yearling sale. There's already 500 head booked for this sale. For all your marketing needs, give us a call here at HLS Yorkton. Thank you and have a great day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.